Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. But before we get into it, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. At charliekirk.com/support, that is your portal to help support us. Our team, our researchers, our editors, the travel costs, everything around the production of the Charlie Kirk Show. You know, with all the cancellation and all the bad guys coming after people that are trying to tell the truth, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you are saying no to cancel culture. You are saying no to the digital assassins. You are saying yes to this program. And if you say to yourself, boy, I want millions of more people to listen to this program, I just wish my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, and more students would hear what this show has to say, that's where it all is made possible, at charliekirk.com/support. As always, you can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode, everybody. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for emailing us. And also, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Can't forget that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's show. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. We want to get right into it. What is a market? Well, a market, in the ideal sense, is a place where people can trade ideas, they can trade products, services, and find what they need, what they desire, and create new things. A market, in its ideal sense, and even in practice in most places, really has three different ways to characterize it. The price system, the profit incentives, and the protections of private property. Prices are critically important in markets. It's how we communicate. It's how you communicate value. Something's too high, I'm not going to buy it. Something's too low, I'm going to buy a lot of it. Profit is the reward that a producer gets when they create something of value and somebody wants to voluntarily purchase it. Profit is the reason we're able to have markets at all. And then, of course, private property. I own this. I can prove I own this, and I'm free to do whatever I wish with it. Markets, in the ideal sense, are the greatest wealth-creating engine and poverty elimination machine in world history. Now, in the last couple of years, I, alongside many conservatives, have said that we need to be less dogmatic about how we talk about markets, less ideal and more pragmatic. What is actually the result of some of this policy that we've been implementing? With that being said, entrepreneurship, taking risks, fresh creative energy is always a better solution than top-down government control. We're big bureaucrats with bad incentive structures wrongly participate in voluntary transactions. And so what's been really interesting to see over the last 24 hours in particular, in the last couple days, is how a market has been manipulated. No one's arguing that. The market that's currently being manipulated are around three stocks, BlackBerry, AMC, and GameStop. This is the front page of the Wall Street Journal today. Individual investors rout hedge funds. Shares of GameStop and AMC have risen more than 400% this week as investors piled into momentum trades with volume rivaling that of giant tech companies. GameStop, as of yesterday's close, was up 1,641.9%. And no, GameStop did not cure cancer yesterday. Instead, a group of motivated retail investors decided to combine their energy and their organizing capacity to try and manipulate GameStop to go up. Now, you'd say, why GameStop? Well, because certain hedge funds were shorting that stock. So someone found out about it. They said, let's stick it to the man. AMC, the same thing. AMC is up 769%. 769%. Most movie theaters are still closed. AMC is on the verge of bankruptcy. And if you're owning any AMC stock today, just call it a win and run. It's pure manipulation. BlackBerry, which I don't even know is still a company. I have not seen anyone use a BlackBerry device in like a decade. Up 229%. And the people that were going out of their way to manipulate this, as we predicted, are already being investigated by the Securities Exchange Commission, already being investigated for a variety of different reasons, and they likely will be held accountable. We predicted that yesterday, and we encourage people to kind of be very careful with the way they handle this situation, because there's a lot of laws and there's a lot of regulation when it comes to market behavior and market manipulation. But that's not even the point about all of this. There's a couple ways to view this that I believe everyone is missing. Number one, do you see how fast all of the power structures mobilized nearly simultaneously as soon as the little guy tried to do something to disrupt the big guy? Did you notice how every single power structure in our country, from federal regulators to who runs NASDAQ to Robinhood itself, which is a retail trading app, to Discord, to Reddit, almost all simultaneously decided this cannot happen. Why? Now, some people would say it's against the law. It probably is to manipulate the market behavior. But why the sudden rush to intervene? Where's been the sudden rush to intervene to reopen our schools when the little guy is getting crushed? So let me get this straight. We keep schools closed for 11 months with suicides going through the roof. We're going to cover that at length this show. And it takes committees and it takes protests to just get schools remotely open. But the minute a multi-billion dollar hedge fund has a tough day, you have a massive Marshall Plan-like mobilization to make sure that a bunch of guys in their basement that can't go find work, that are trolling the market, they must be shut down. You see, they're the problem. Because the hedge funds need to make their earnings estimates. You understand that, right? And this is not anything new. This is something that is only confirmation of how we know the system works. If you have wealth, if you have any sort of institutional advantage, the government is designed to protect you. Who financed Joe Biden's campaign? Melvin Capital, or whatever the heck this company's called, that Janet Yellen conveniently received millions of dollars to speak at from. That's who runs the instruments of power. But there's a much deeper point here that I think people are missing. None of this is actually about making money. This chart here that I'm showing on the live stream, none of it. Yeah, people are kind of laughing. They're like, I'm making some money and all this. Do you know the real reason they are doing this? The real reason that this has broad support, and this should be a fire alarm for those of us that want to prevent socialism from coming to our country, is that most people under the age of 35, they think this entire system is so rotten to the core and so rigged, they want to see it broken. They want to see it disrupted. They want to see it broken. For example, they remember reading stories of a guy who I'm sure he's a really good guy, Bill Ackman. Bill Ackman, back in April, he put a $27 million short on the market, which turned into a $2.6 billion profit. That's right, you heard me right. Bill Ackman, who's best known for only buying and sharing like eight companies, that's what his firm does. He picks eight companies and he stays focused on it. It's like 8 to 10 companies. That's what he does. Very smart guy. didn't do anything illegal, put a $27 million short on the market, meaning he was betting that it was going to go down right before the virus intensified. He made $2.6 billion. The people that are manipulating the market right now and participating, they've seen the Louis Vuitton guy, Arnott, get $76 billion richer this year. Really? In a year that has locked down global economies, we have hundreds of millions of people re-entering poverty. The Louis Vuitton guy has $76 billion of new wealth, not just his whole net worth. He's gotten $76 billion richer. $76 billion. That's probably more than the GDP of Hungary. We can get a fact check on that. He could buy an Eastern European country. No, but you don't understand. As soon as you try to manipulate a manipulated market, you're going to get crushed. But there's an even deeper point here that I think that I want to explore with all of you. And it goes into politics. It goes into society. It goes into culture. Okay, Hungary's GDP is $168 billion, but that's near Arnott's entire net worth, right? His net worth is like $132 billion. And this is a warning for things to come. You may not know this about me, but I'm kind of an undercover, some people would call it a nerd, when it comes to studying the global economy. I love seeking out financial wisdom. When it comes to my own portfolio, I always value precious metals. Noble Gold is the firm I trust to buy gold and silver from, which can serve as a hedge of protection in your IRA. First reason, they are a United States-based company. Supporting American businesses is so incredibly important. Second reason, Noble Gold has impeccable online reviews. A great online reputation is a must if you're going to trust a team's financial counsel. Third reason, Noble Gold has an experienced staff who works hard to make life easy for you. Any paperwork that might pop up takes less than 5 minutes to complete. Maybe it's an old 401k that needs a home. Maybe you're just like me and curious about your options. If so, grab a free gold guide by visiting noblegoldinvestments.com to learn more. I respect this team, and I know you will as well. Call Noble Gold right now. Tell them you heard about investing on my show. They will find the right plan on your budget. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. So I found it really interesting, as soon as the hedge funds who put these big positions of shorts on GameStop, AMC, and BlackBerry, as soon as their positions started to lose them extraordinary amounts of money, because a short you can actually lose infinitely as it keeps going up. It's a very risky position. That's where the hedge funds kind of intentionally position themselves. Whereas, to give you an idea of how this crushed the hedge funds, when GameStop was trading at more or less $90 a share, then it goes up to $400 a share, you have to cover that short all the way up through. So the hedge funds were pretty upset. But where did the hedge funds run to first? And now we're starting to see a pattern emerge in our country. We're starting to see a pattern emerge in how we run the economy. Where did the hedge funds immediately go to for help? Who did they ask to intervene on their behalf? Was it other hedge funds? Did they think, hey, maybe we should now put positions that are long against what Reddit is doing? Of course not. The guys that say, we love free markets, what's the first phone call those hedge funds made? To government regulators. The guys that say they love free markets, yeah, we love free markets. Go look at my statue of the bull and the bear on my desk. Have you ever read Milton Friedman? By the way, go get the head of the SEC on the phone right now, as we predicted, by the way. We predicted this entire thing. The very same guys that have Ayn Rand's Fountainhead and Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, all about being a rugged individual and being an objectivist and fighting the system against government intervention, the first phone call they make, their in-house counsel is, get the SEC on the phone. This can't be legal. And we knew that was going to happen. Because whether it be medicine, health, schooling, education, transportation, communication, finance, or banking, If you are part of the ruling class, the government works for you. The word citizen is supposed to mean co-ruler. That is the idea of a citizen going back to its original Greek roots. Co-ruler, not subject. It's a big difference that you have an equal say in how this government works. You want to see the mass mobilization of powerful people? Start playing with their capacity and their ability to deliver unrealistic 25% returns by hedging a market. That's when you start to see the cavalry come in. Now, by the way, the cavalry doesn't come in when opioid deaths are coming up. The cavalry doesn't come in when factories are shuttered and closed. The cavalry doesn't come in when schools are shuttered and parents can't make ends meet. It took us 7 months to get a Chinese coronavirus relief bill. Most of it was garbage. But it took 7 months. It's now taken 24 hours for Reddit, Discord, Robinhood, all these different companies to either shut down or to change their behavior. Which actually is alarmingly similar to something that we saw 2 weeks ago. Or was it 3 weeks ago? It's about 3 weeks ago. What does that sound familiar? How is that something we just saw? Oh, remember when Parler tried to represent the little guy? Remember when Parler tried to disrupt a power structure? What happened? Three different companies or three different CEOs with three different formation documents with three different ticker symbols all said, we don't want you to exist anymore. You're giving a voice to people we don't like. We're going to shut you up. It's no different than a mass populist surge of manipulation, which very well, by the way, probably is against the law. And the people that are organizing this are probably going to go to jail because they're going to make public examples of this. You understand that? They are going to want to have a show trial for some guy that lives in eastern Kentucky who goes to bed at 7 a.m. and drinks Monster and Red Bull all day long. And his idea was to try to troll the hedge funds. They will find him and they will put him on trial for market manipulation. Guarantee it. Because the one rule that we have in our country is you cannot challenge powerful people. Flipping the calendar is a great time to think of fresh starts and clean slates. And nothing is more fresh and clean than cleaning out your driveway. Donate that car you're not using to Cars for Kids. You'll be doing some good while getting a jump on a tax deduction for this year. Yes, donating your car is tax deductible. Cars for Kids works hard to sell your car for the best price, which means more funds for their charity and a bigger tax deduction for you. Your car donation is fast and free, usually picked up in within 24 hours and often even the same day. Cars for Kids makes the process of donating your car quick and easy. And as a special thank you for donating your car, Cars for Kids gives you a vacation voucher good for a 3-day and 2-night hotel stay. Donate your car and claim your tax deduction today. Go to carsforkids.org/Kirk. You'll get a professional service, a convenient pickup, a maximum tax deduction, a vacation voucher, and be doing good. That's cars with a K, K-A-R-S, the number 4, kids.org. carsforkids.org/Kirk. carsforkids.org/Kirk. What is the deeper and broader lesson from this rather insane flurry of market activity? The kind of conventional way it's being portrayed on some of the market channels is how this is going to change trading forever. And we need new laws and new regulation to, of course, protect the hedge fund guys, who, by the way, are mostly all Democrats, who, by the way, are almost all on the left. And they don't care about markets. They care about their own power and making themselves rich. If they actually cared about markets, they wouldn't call the SEC immediately. They'd say, how do I innovate? How do I try to use my own creative talents to adjust to this situation? But no, these guys are nothing. They're no different than a little bit more motivated government civil bureaucrats. That's basically who these hedge fund guys are. They're ideologically
apathetic. They do not have a driving ideology. Basically, it's all about just power and money, but they hide behind this idea of free markets to try to win conservatives over so that we don't regulate them or that we don't overly criticize them. But let me tell you, this entire situation is only another piece of evidence that the trust in our system is eroding very, very quickly. I don't mean just the trust in the market, the trust in the stock market or the way that we buy and sell securities. I'm talking about the trust in our entire system. Somebody said something to me the other day that really resonated with me. They said, Charlie, I do not trust any major institution of power left in our country. And I thought about that. Our colleges, our government, most of law enforcement, our multimedia, financial institutions. So then who stands to benefit from that? Who stands to benefit from a multi-institutional rot? Well, the answer is we don't know yet, but I can tell you who won't benefit from it. You want to see where the energy of the next political movement is brewing? It's not in the Liz Cheney types where they want to go back to the Chamber of Commerce way of doing things. What this entire, quite honestly, market circus has demonstrated to us is that people are so angry at the system, they really don't care whether or not they're going to make money on it. They just want to see the tables overturned. They just want to see the system flip up on its head. You know why? And I've talked about this quite a lot. That the main driver of the BLM Incorporated riots over the summer and in the fall had nothing to do with racism. It was economic anxiety. The main reason why the people in Brooklyn or in the Bronx or in Beverly Hills or in Denver were taking to the streets and were saying America's a racist country, that was just the temporary incantation that expressed them saying, I'm working, I have no money, I have no wealth, I'm in debt, and I'm angry. The incantation was just BLM, feel bad about it. And I'm sure some of those people were upset about it. But the reason why that mass mobilization was able to happen, and quite honestly, on the other side, the reason why Trump was able to get hundreds of thousands of people to show up to his rallies is because you have 200 million people in this country that don't trust any institution of wealth creation anymore. They don't. And for a 29-year-old that went to college, went into debt, has no skills, was trying to get their life organized, moved to a major metropolitan area to go pay an inflated rent where they're renting, not owning, they're not building equity. They have to buy expensive groceries, expensive cost of living expenses. And then you shut down their country for 10 months for a virus that statistically does not threaten their generation. And what do you do in response? You go bail out the big banks. You go bail out the big airlines, what I should say, big airlines, big cruise ships, big companies. You go send them $1,000 in their bank account so that they don't revolt against you. Basically, that's the only reason they did that. And then all of a sudden, you're really surprised when 5 million people take to the streets repeating the same line, America's a racist country, BLM. It's not about that. Yes, of course, they were filled with those bad ideas in college and they're just now acting on it. The real reason they're doing that is because they own nothing. They own nothing. They're renting. They're in debt. They have no job. You shut down their country. They can't go to the gym. They can't see their friends. They can't go to school. And you are all of a sudden surprised when they start to have this massive pseudo revolt. This market activity is just the latest chapter in a non-ideological populist rebellion against the power structure. That's all this is. BLM, from the MAGA movement, all of it, it's actually less about ideology. It has not very little to do with philosophy, very little to do with conservative versus liberal. It's not about that. It's about 50 million people that are saying, I'm mad as heck and I'm not going to take it anymore. How many years do I have to keep on doing the thing you tell me to do while my bank account continues to go south, taxes go up, job opportunities aren't there for me? And so the question will now be, this can go three ways. We can, as a country, go back to the Chamber of Commerce, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Joe Biden, Liz Cheney way of governing, which is big government, big business, open borders, no culture, no cultural protections whatsoever, no common language. All that matters is the corporate dominance of our country. That's one way. That's Joe Biden's preference because it's easy. You make a lot of money that way. You sit on corporate boards. All the powerful people protect you. That's one way. The second way is if Republicans and conservatives got serious about this economic anxiety, got real about entrepreneurship versus corporate dominance, took on the big robber barons and did not treat every single company the same. Meaning, you know what, Google? You're not the same as my local grocery store. It's a different thing. That Google should be treated differently. We talk about family creation. We talk about lowering taxes on working people. That's a winner. Or the third option, which quite honestly is the most likely option at its current trajectory. Because what we are seeing is a gradual pent-up buildup of an economic restructuring and quite honestly rebellion that no one is prepared for. You're about to see inflation. You're going to see economic stagnation, and you're going to see wealthy people get even wealthier. The wealthiest people in our country, $500 billion richer since the pandemic. The average working class family has lost net worth, lost wealth. They can't even send their kids to school. So who's going to benefit from this? Answer. The politicians and the rulers and the leaders that professionally mobilize grievances. They're really good at it. AOC is really good at it. Her entire political playbook is the mobilization of grievances. That's it. It's you have a problem. You should be angry about it. Vote for me and support me. And we're going to go not try to right the wrong, but seek revenge. You see, that's a very big difference. Trying to fix a problem and seeking revenge are two completely different things. AOC is actually not about fixing a problem. The way AOC is talking about this market manipulation is not about actually protecting markets or private property, entrepreneurship or profits or any of that. It's we have to go punish these people. And what we have learned from the French Revolution, amongst many other type rebellions, is revenge is very attractive to the masses. AOC, Bernie Sanders, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar stand to benefit from this. This is a canary in the coal mine. This is a harbinger. This is a warning for things to come. And I cannot say this any more clearly, everybody. Take this seriously. Because, yeah, this is kind of a funny thing. Some people are making jokes, all this. You know, people are going to be held accountable, all this. You don't understand. This is just the latest chapter in what's about to come into a volcanic explosion that people will not be able to control. We saw this in different variations. We saw this in the Occupy movement and the Tea Party movement and the MAGA movement and BLM Incorporated, where people just are so upset at the power structure and they want to voice and they want to voice their opinion. Now, one of the pressure release valves that all of us witnessed and saw was the capacity to communicate. You take Trump off Twitter, you take Trump off all these things, you take Parler away, and all of a sudden people can't communicate. What do you expect them to do? Just take their $2,000 check and go away? And by the way, that $2,000 is worth less than it ever has been in American history with our hyperinflated currency that's about to hit everyone in a way that no one is prepared. And so now this is a real choice for the Republican Party. And I guarantee you this, the Republicans are going to screw this up unless we tell them specifically what to do. They want to go back to the crony corporate pseudo-fascist way of governance where they have carve-outs for big companies and they protect their incumbency, where the people are trying to send them an SOS signal right now. We are not flourishing. We don't like you. We don't like your system. Help us. And guess what? Most people, when presented with the option, they don't just want free money as help. They actually want to build earned success. It's still there in the American spirit and the American ethos. They don't just want some redistributed AOC-style, revenge-driven stimulus sent to them. They want the capacity to buy and sell products. They want to be able to build equity. They want to build wealth themselves. They want to say, I own this. And that's quickly slipping away. And that's the lesson here that people are missing. It's a fire alarm. I just hope people wake up to it. In our fast-paced world, it's tough to make reading a priority. At least it used to be. At thinker.org, T-H-I-N-K-R.org, they summarize the key ideas from new and noteworthy nonfiction, giving you access to an entire library of great books in bite-sized form. Read or listen to hundreds of titles in a matter of minutes, from old classics like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People to recent bestsellers like Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life. I can tell you, Thinker is the way that I am able to distill a lot of information quickly. It's important to take a break from mindless social media scrolling and learn something. If you want to challenge your preconceptions, expand your horizons, and become a better thinker, go to thinkr.org to start a free trial today. Again, that's thinkr.org, thinker.org/Charlie. Senator Ted Cruz sent out a tweet agreeing with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, where AOC said, this is unacceptable. We need now more people. We need more about Robin Hood's decision to block retail investors from purchasing stock while hedge funds are freely able to trade the stock as they see fit. As a member of the Financial Services Committee, I'd support a hearing if necessary. Ted Cruz says, fully agree. And then AOC, like a petulant child, responds and says this. I'm happy to work with Republicans on this issue where there's common ground, but you almost had me murdered 3 weeks ago, so you can sit this one out. Can you believe she's saying this? Happy to work with almost any other Republican that aren't trying to get me killed. In the meantime, if you want to help, you can resign. Okay. The narrative and the weight of what she is saying is so unbelievably sinister. Saying this, quote, you almost had me murdered 3 weeks ago, acting as if Ted Cruz, in a stunning turn of events, became the Viking shaman Chewbacca guy. Or that Ted Cruz was marauding the House floor with zip ties. Or that Ted Cruz, in a shocking turn of events, was one of the guys that was trying to break through the windows of the SWAT team. AOC is now revealing one of the major reasons why normal and common sense reform has escaped us in the last couple of years. AOC, a gesture from Ted Cruz. I fully agree with you, AOC. Let's try to, you know, fix this, you know, rigged financial system. You try to have me murdered. What? So basically, AOC's position, as per this tweet, is I will never work with another Republican. We must dominate all government and destroy all of them. What did Ted Cruz do to make her all of a sudden accuse him of being the Zodiac killer? He simply stood up and objected to the counting of the Electoral College results, something that Senator Barbara Boxer also did in 2004, something that Nancy Pelosi also did in 2004. That, in the eyes of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is morally equivalent of being the Columbine shooter. She said, you tried to murder me and get me killed. This is a little bit of a window into how the left is going to justify coming after all of you. She actually thinks, I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is so unbelievably dumb that she actually thinks that Ted Cruz is one of the masterminds of Chewbacca man, Viking shaman, zip tie guy, and the mash guy flooding into the Senate floor, that it was really Ted Cruz that was running air traffic control for the JV team that was dressing in gas masks and whatever, that it was Ted Cruz that was the conductor of the insurrectionist orchestra. I actually think she believes this. I hope she doesn't. I hope that she's actually just playing a part. I hope that AOC is doing her best to try to fill a Broadway position for left-wing professional agitator. Because any person in their right mind that actually thinks that Ted Cruz tried to murder AOC, let alone should be in Congress, they shouldn't be allowed in decent or polite society. This is what AOC just tweeted. When Ted Cruz tries to say, hey, let's go fix the financial markets, murderer. Pretty hard to have a conversation past that point. You know, we as conservatives are used to like, hey, you're a bigot. Okay, no, I'm not. You're a racist. No, I'm not. You're a xenophobe. No, I'm not. Now they're just going straight for the jugular. You're a murderer. Tells us a lot of exactly what the left is going to try to do. When you view other people in the other political party as murderers, you can justify anything that comes after that. Sure, we'll spy on them, we'll infiltrate their groups, we'll do whatever it takes. So much for the nice bipartisan unity, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Nothing says unity like calling your political opponents Columbine shooters. Of course, she'll get away with it. In fact, here's a prediction. The Huffington Post will say AOC roasts Ted Cruz on Twitter, comparing him to mass murderer. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you would like to get involved with Turning Point USA, which you should, go to tpusa.com/get involved. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you'd like to support us, it's charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.